I didn't realize until about 3 weeks ago that podcasts generally are audio only.
Really?
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Some respect to
Hello and welcome to Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, my new podcast where I'm joined by a weekly guest as we have the authority to answer your big, unanswered questions, like a couple of agony aunts. I spent a career in local politics running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, so this shouldn't be too different. If you haven't already, make sure you've pressed subscribe or follow, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please do leave a star rating and a review. It makes all the difference. And sponsoring today's episode is Brixton Brewery. More about them later. Today's guest is a comedian, actor, presenter, and Brits royalty. I know the feeling. It's Jack Whitehall. Jack, it's lovely to have you here this afternoon on my podcast. And obviously we have worked together before, and people do know me. But they may not know you. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I mean, I think probably now people know me and you as a double act, having seen us perform together at the Brits, with those other guys from Line of Duty as well, who are obviously there to sort of, you know, add a little bit of, you know, support for us. But we were the main event of the Brits. So, yes, I would say my, you know, first credit now that I would list on any CV is Jackie Weaver's co-star in Brit Sketch 2021.
You were hoping to work again, weren't you?
Yeah.
This just may not go well for you. You might want to go a different way with that, but perhaps we could talk about that later. Yeah. And secondly, everybody has to really go through this one. Do you feel you have the authority to answer these questions for our public?
I remember I went to school with, do you know Giles and Mary from Gogglebox?
The very old people.
Yes, with the lovely wallpaper. The posh couple, obviously.
What do you mean you went to school with them?
Well, I went to school with their daughter, sorry.
Right.
I knew them when I was at school. I wasn't at school with them. But when I was at school, I was friends with their daughter.
I was going to say, Jack, you're really
so good.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And her Mary was the agony aunt in The Spectator, but she never got enough, like, queries sent in, so she was always asking us and my parents to like send in queries to The Spectator so that she would be able to fill her column. And I think my dad wrote into The Spectator a few times with problems to the agony aunt because Mary had asked him. So I have had experience of having to assist agony aunts before because I was, you know, very helpful to Mary Killen.
So in that case, you may have to draw on some of that as we as we work through the next 47 questions that we've got.
Okay.
Let's hope some of them are short. Okay. And some of them even apparently have real names, like Sally. You could not take offence at a name like that, could you?
No.
She says she's back working in the office and really doesn't get on with her colleagues. This could be why. What's the most passive-aggressive stuff I can do without coming across as rude? I think the problem's there, that you are passive-aggressive. This may be why you don't get on with the colleagues.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do that's, like, passive-aggressive? It's been a long time since I've worked in an office.
I think it extends into other walks of life, though.
Yeah, but with comedians, you would be in a dressing room, and no one's passive-aggressive, they're just aggressive. They say it to your face. So I guess, yeah, I mean, in the office, we're like eating other people's food. Although that feels like, again, like that used to be something that was passive aggressive, but in the era of COVID, that's like beyond passive aggressive. Or like passive aggressive gifts, I guess, in the Secret Santa. Deodorant. My mum used to get me a lot of deodorant.
Yeah, well, mums do though, don't we?
Always do, yeah.
I mean, she can't think of anything else to get for you.
I don't live in her house. I mean, I got it when I lived there. I was smelling out her house, but maybe she can still smell me from wherever she is now.
Yeah, I think I might be more tempted to give mine foot powder.
Foot powder?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think if you brought in a tub of foot powder and gave that to one of your colleagues, that would be quite a passive aggression.
Okay. Right. Now, I have a really important follower on Twitter, apparently. Jesus. Apparently. He doesn't follow everybody, you know.
Yeah.
If you could perform miracles, what miracle would you choose? Oh, but we're not going to save the world. Let's not bother with anything like that.
I'd just stick to one of the classics, like water into wine. I think that is a real crowd pleaser.
You don't think that's problematic?
What, in case you've got not like designated drivers or non-drinkers?
Or a lot of very dehydrated people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We've not had a drink in weeks. Breath of the water.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I'm not necessarily saying I would do it to all of the water.
Okay.
I think just at a party, I think that would be the... I'm thinking more of a party trick rather than an actual miracle. And probably healing the sick is a better one.
Yeah. I mean, the healing the sick is really kind of beauty contest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, water into tequila would technically go further.
It depends on how much people drink.
Yeah. Well, then you'd also need to do some water into mixer and water into ice, although that's not really a miracle. That's just a freezer.
We have a miracle! We can do that now.
Behold. That was one of his warm-up miracles. Jesus tried the water into ice trick before and it really didn't get much traction, so he had to up his game and do
straight for wine.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you could hand this on, you might kind of stereotype it and allow the Scots to water into whiskey.
Water into whiskey.
Yeah.
That is kind of distillation. That is kind of what they're doing already up there. I mean, it is miraculous, but, you know, I went to a whiskey factory and that is basically it.
I mean, I am a Scot, not exactly brought up on whiskey, but, you know, it's kind of like the national drink. And husband and I went to a distillery and had the, you know, immersed ourselves in the experience. I can't tell the difference from one to another.
Oh,
they all just taste like you're trying to swallow fire.
Yeah. I went up with that attitude, Jackie Weaver, and I came back and I'm ashamed to say, having been shown around like one distillery, I turned into a complete whiskey bore. And now I'm that guy
that
you don't want to get sat next to if someone brings up the topic of whiskey, because I'm talking about how you can break down the flavors and whether you should add water or not and whether you should have a spade side, or I like even hearing myself say that out loud, I'm cringing. And
I seriously can't tell the difference between one and another. I can tell the difference between a malt and a blend.
Yeah. But they're just different types of fire to you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you went to the wrong distillery.
I think I should just kind of do a quick tour of Scotland and try some more of them.
Just keep going. You'll find the distillery for you. Actually, no, they say eventually you'll find the whiskey for you. I don't think you always have to go to the distillery.
Yeah, because they're in shops as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
We're doing very well here. The last guest that I had, I think everybody had numbers in their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was the last guest you had?
Oh,
no. All just been a blur since Anton de Beck.
It was. Right, so Josie on Twitter, which is better, I suppose, than being on Valium for a long period of time. Is there anything more satisfying than popping bubble wrap? I know the answer to this. If so, what?
Spots.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Have you discovered spot videos?
Yeah, I quite like a spot video.
They're so weird.
Yeah, they're pretty weird. I've even, obviously you start with spots, and if you're feeling really daring and it's really late at night, you can go for assist video, which is, I mean, work your way up to assist video. You don't want to go straight.
I don't like the ones with blood in them.
Yeah, this is blood past everything, the whole shebang.
Who thought that making a video about squeezing spots would be something that people would really tune into?
Who thought that a lady kicking some parish councillors off a Zoom would break the internet? It's strange times that we live in.
It's a strange world. I reckon
the Venn diagram, Jackie Weaver's popping a spot, could be the thing that literally they go, right, we're done now. Internet.
Broken.
Shut down. Reset.
When I'm watching them, I keep thinking I should really feel sorry for the poor person who's, you know, getting pins stuck in them to get the spots out. And yet it's just too... No, yeah, you just find yourself just sitting there watching it.
Yeah, they've willingly submitted to this, so they do not deserve our pity.
So are we on spots or is there anything else apart from bubble wrap?
I think I would go for spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get bubble wrap. I mean, I do. It comes from the post, but...
But you don't get the concept of bubble wrap. What about the one with, like, the flavourless Wotsits now that they send things in? You open a box and it's just got loads of them and you pour water on them and they disappear.
How do you know they're flavourless?
I've tried. They look so tasty.
I was going to say...
White cheesy puffs.
What would put in your mind the idea that you would eat the packaging of something?
Yeah, I'm 32 years old and I still chew quite a lot of things. I still can't be allowed near swallowing hazards. Or
if you are successful with your wish or your miracle and you are now turning water into wine or other spirits, Theodora wants to know, what would you recommend as the ultimate hangover cure? Because I think we're going to need them.
The ultimate hangover cure. I mean, all the ones that I thought were gospel are actually just rubbish. You know, like hair of the dog, which was always my favourite, just to have another drink. But apparently that isn't, like, scientifically proven not to be the case, and it will just delay your hangover even more.
Yeah.
And then sweating it out as well, which I thought was, like, a really good one, going to the gym or going to a sauna or... getting out into the sun and sweating out the toxins, but again, apparently medically really not good for you. And those have been the ones that I've been trying, and I've been getting, to be fair, stinking hangovers for years. So I probably should have at some point checked a little sooner to see whether they had any kind of medical substance to them, but definitely not. Sleep, although that's not a particularly fun one, that definitely works. The full English breakfast. That one, actually, there is science behind it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it looks like I've really come prepared for this question.
It does, doesn't it?
I look into hangovers.
Worrying.
Quite a lot, yeah. I spend quite a lot of time in a dark room on my phone at midday.
Well, you do if you have a hangover, really, don't you?
Yeah.
Bananas have a big part to play, though, don't they?
Bananas are good.
That's what I've heard.
They're less fun, though, than a full English breakfast.
Better with ice cream, though.
Yeah, true. Ice cream. Yeah, I wouldn't say no to that. But I would start with like a big, full English breakfast. And then, yeah, if that doesn't work, I mean...
So you don't subscribe to that one where they plop a raw egg in something? I mean, that's just... Ugh, I didn't even think about that without a hangover.
No, I need my egg scrambled or fried.
Well, I suppose you could scramble it in there if you wanted to. Yeah. But... Okay, so full English...
Full English.
But if anybody has any further suggestions, then we'll give them a go.
Please do.
Or rather, you'll give them a go and tell me about
them. Yeah, just fire them straight at me.
Okay.
Because I'll probably be needing them by about 1 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Why 1 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Well, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Why 10 o'clock tomorrow
morning? I'm going to get lit and celebrate.
Oh, bless
another
you.
Another afternoon with Jack.
Are you just going to, just going to blot it out of your mic forever?
Oh, there, ready to go.
Wow, that is very... something.
Yeah. Worrying?
I think the word I was looking for was 70s.
Yeah. 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a cocktail bar.
Yeah, it's a little cocktail bar. Look, I've got everything prepared as well. This is my very special bottle opener that I brought back from the Far East when I was traveling there with my father. And I bought some of these back. It's a phallic bottle opener with a lovely wooden... base. Sorry, Jackie.
Did he appreciate it?
Well, no, they were. I just bought these for myself and as gift. The only problem was I bought these back and I had, I think, maybe 20 of them in my bag, and I got stopped at customs, and the customs official asked me to open my bag and show him what was inside, and I pulled one of these out, but unfortunately the bottle opener element had snapped off, so I was just holding the wooden bit. And he gave me a very judgmental look. And I went...
And we shouldn't judge.
He used to open bottles.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Before we return to the show, I wanted to say a quick something about our fantastic sponsor, Brixton Brewery. Brixton Brewery specialise in bold, modern and easy drinking beers inspired by the vibrant South London neighbourhood they call home. Like their Cold Harbour Lager, which is a bold and refreshing tribute to Cold Harbour Lane, just around the corner from the brewery. I am delighted to say that they are offering listeners of this podcast 10% off their next order. Head to brixtonbrewery.com and use the code CALLMEBRITNEY, all one word. That's CALLMEBRITNEY for 10% off your next order. They deliver nationwide too, so get a taste of Brixton. On with the show. Right, oh, now, I definitely feel that you can help with this, Jack. Tomo on Twitter. Nice bit of alliteration there for you. I'm due to give a speech in front of a couple of hundred people, and I'm cacking it. Do you have any tips for strangers? Stage fright. Do you have any tips for stage fright? Or the inability to speak words?
I would suggest, I mean, thinking that they're all naked is what you're told to do. Because I think it makes you feel like, you know, they're as nervous as you are. And,
but they're not.
I know, but there's...
And they're waiting for you to fail, Jack.
And bizarrely as well, I feel like an actual gig where I walked out and everyone would be naked, it would just make me a lot more nervous and scared. I'd be like, why are none of these people wearing any clothes? And, oh my God, I didn't get the dress code or lack thereof. I'm in the wrong already. Should I take my clothes off? This is a disaster. Why have I been booked for a nudist gig and not been told about it? There's so many problems with that piece of advice of making... Also, sometimes if you're doing a wedding, that's family members. I don't think you want to be thinking about them naked. So definitely think about them fully clothed.
Okay. So far you're no help.
I'm no help. Because I'm saying... Don't
follow
to
that
one
advice.
Piece of advice that you hear, which is okay. Imagine the audience is naked. Dutch courage. I'm really coming across as a bit of a heavy drinker.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's called stand-up, so you have to be able to stand up.
Yeah, although you've got a mic stand there to sort of prop yourself
Hang
up.
I want to, okay.
A lot of comedians will work out what their perfect level of, you know, medical inebriation is before a gig, and, you know, you need to work that out because you need to fine tune it. So you need to practice first because you don't want to over tip the scales. You need to make sure that you've had just enough to settle the nerves, but, you know, not too much to not be able to get the speech out. But I think maybe like a glass or half a glass of champagne is probably good just to kind of settle your nerves before you head up there, but definitely no more than that.
I remember seeing you on stage. I don't mean I was in the audience, but I was watching it from the stage, looking out over the audience. And I've never seen so many people in my life.
Well, with those ones, at some of the bigger venues, it in a way, it's kind of easier just because it's so surreal. If I would be more worried about doing a gig in a room to 20 people than I would in the O2 to 20,000 people, because when you're in front of 20,000 people, it's just such a surreal experience, and they're normally plunged into darkness and it's just this wall of people. Whereas if you're in a small room and you can see the whites of everyone's eyes, and there's, you know, a far greater chance that 20 people aren't going to laugh at the thing you're going to say. With 20,000 people, someone's going to find it funny.
But it was only one. 20,000. That's not what you're waiting for, is it?
Yeah, that's not a good ratio. The main genuine piece of advice is to just kind of convince yourself of confidence. It's like you're playing a game. You need to just trick yourself into going out there feeling as confident as you can be. And it's all kind of, you know, it's a performance. And just when you step out there, not allowing yourself to be scared. It's a psychological thing.
Has anything gone really badly wrong when you've been on the stage on your own?
I've had the stage set on fire once when I was in Leeds. That was quite dramatic.
They didn't like you.
To be fair, they did nothing. The stage set fire because I'd used some pyrotechnics and I carried on doing the show. No one pointed it out. And then even when it became aware that you know, I was possibly going to burn everyone to the ground. They still just sat there and laughed and thought it was part of the show. My stage manager had to run on with a fire extinguisher, put out the fire, escort me off, and they were still sort of laughing. It was like, this is such a great bit. They
would have sat there. You do it tomorrow night as well.
Yeah.
And do a lot of stand-up comedians suffer from restless leg syndrome?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They do.
What's with the walking?
The walking?
Yeah.
What, striding around from side to side?
You know, just find a place on the stage that you like and stop there.
Yeah, well, some comedians do.
Yeah, I must go and see some of them.
I think I've got a dancer inside of me waiting to burst out. I'm always trying to get on the stage and perform as much as I can. I want to be in musical theatre, really. I'm just trapped in a comedian's body. But I think the musical theatre star tries to get out sometimes while I'm on stage.
And can you sing?
Nah, see, here's the problem.
I don't think it is a problem, Jack.
No, but I can't. Yes, but I can't sing. I'll murder any song that I'm attempting. But I just love the idea of it. I love the showbiz sort of glamour. I like, you know, big number. I like musical theatre. I like stagecraft, dancing.
I'm not seeing this as a barrier. I mean, I can't act, but it doesn't stop people putting a camera in front of me from time to time. So, I mean, if there's hope for me, there must be hope for you.
Yeah.
So what musical are you going to go for?
I would probably go for something Disney, I think.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I love Disney. So, I mean, they've all really been done, but...
Yeah, but we just do them again, don't we?
Do them again.
Yeah.
Do them again.
Well, Tom Cruise does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Frozen.
Right. Well, I shall look forward to it.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Dear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Right. Last one. Again, somewhat drink orientated. I think Darren and his mates clearly were down the pub when they were sorting out these questions that they typed in. In your opinion, what is the best pub snack? Darren thinks that Scotch eggs should just get in the bin.
I've got to say, and I know it's quite controversial, but the one that I just cannot get enough of and is definitely my guilty pleasure is a pork scratching. And I like a really, like, filthy pork scratching. The one that's got, like, that congealed fat underneath it. One that could, like, crack your tooth, possibly with a hair on it. But I really like that. Like,
that's dirty
pork scratching. And it is gross. And I know it's gross.
I mean, I have seen them. I think the thing that's worst about them is it has hairs on them.
Oh, my God, no. They're literally like those things you get for the dog in the pet shop, that like a pudding or something like that. It feels like a thing you would give a dog, and even a dog might not eat.
Yeah, I know.
It might turn its nose up at that. It might look at the pork scratching and be like, I'm happy sniffing around backsides, but yeah, I'm not going anywhere near that. But I love it. That with like a warm pint. Mm.
Warm beer? I thought beer was always cold.
It is always cold, but like an ale should technically be served warm. And I feel like with a pork scratching, you'd want like a big, warm, frothing ale and a pork scratching. A kind of sort of staple meal that would probably disgust an American or anyone that wasn't aware of pub culture, if we can call it that.
We used to, I mean, it probably wouldn't pass health and safety these days, but we used to have people that came round the pub with snacks.
Yeah, yeah, that's dead. The bar nut. Yeah. I mean, that probably was the first thing to be dead and buried with.
But it's like winkles pandemic. And mussels and things like that.
Oh, winkles and mussels. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't still do them, do they?
I don't think so. I think if you went to a pub now and someone came up to you and offered you a winkle, you'd probably get arrested. Hello, madam.
Personally, I'd probably say yes.
Hello, madam.
Maybe that's
like
the point. I'd get arrested.
Jack, you need to be very careful. Yeah, there are certain pubs where if a man offers you a winkle, you definitely want to give that a hard no and get out of there as quickly as possible.
So when I go in to set establishments, then I have to check out if these are winkle pubs or not.
Yeah, indeed. Cockles as well.
Who would I ask?
you would probably want to ask the publican. But yeah, I mean, I've been offered a few cockles in some pubs. There was one in Soho once, but I wasn't feeling hungry that day. Scampi fries, that's another classic pub snack.
Oh, I remember those in little green packets.
Yeah, like fish flavoured cereal.
And even the Winkles. I mean, I don't like Winkles in the sense of seafood. They are actually like bogies. I mean, they are just nasty.
Winkles, whelks is that one?
Yes.
Cockles, mussels.
Yeah, nasty. But I like mussels. They're quite nice.
Mussel popping. Maybe that's the new YouTube craze.
I think if it is, we probably have reached the end of the internet.
Yeah.
Like we've watched everything, and now we're down to watching someone opening mussels.
Opening mussels, but that's the nature of the internet. Like me and you have both watched people popping spots. I still haven't seen The Sopranos, and I've watched an hour of people popping spots.
It's like, I mean, I suppose potentially it's a diet, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, just watch a video of someone having eaten something and say, oh, God, I can eat another thing now. That's me. That's me full.
The YouTube diet. Shed the pounds by just watching other people eat food.
Yes. But the important thing is that nothing passes your lips.
Yeah. Package that up. Well, you can make a fortune.
I think we definitely have enough there for some career moves for both of us, Jack.
Podcast gold.
Podcast gold. Definitely looking at a new career for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Broadway stage beckons. I don't think you should feel the slightest bit uncomfortable about not being able to sing.
No, hopefully.
Just have two glasses of champagne before you go on.
Yeah. Hopefully Andrew Lloyd Webber is listening to this and he can slide into
him. I could have a word with him if you want.
Lord Lloyd Webber, sorry. Probably need to get his title right.
Andy
to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an absolute delight. Hopefully we shall meet again, Jackie Weaver. What will the third time be?
On the other hand, it may be the last time we see each other, Jack, in which case it has been an absolute pleasure.
A pleasure. Goodbye, Jackie.
Thank you to Jack for being such a great guest. If you haven't seen it already, you can see his very phallic bottle opener on my Twitter page. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and leave a nice rating and a little review if you can. It makes all the difference. You can support the show on Patreon too. Patreon is a nifty way of helping independent podcasts, like this one, keep doing what they're doing. For as little as £3 a month, you can get bonus bits, ad-free episodes, shout-outs, Zoom hangouts, and more. 10% of every donation goes to anti-bullying program to help tackle bullying. Thanks in particular to my patrons Helen Rounce, Connor Farley and Judith Elliott. If you'd like to support this show, just Google Jackie Weaver Patreon or click the link in the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much for listening and I hope you have a lovely day. See you soon.
She's kicked him out. Jackie
Weaver. Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.